Hello and welcome to the Climate Chats podcast. The Climate 2020 online conference is coming closer and closer. Today, I am speaking with one of the researchers who have successfully submitted a paper to the conference. Cornelius Krüger is research assistant consultant of the Independent Evaluation Unit at the Green Climate Fund. Welcome to the podcast, Cornelius.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
Would you mind to briefly introduce yourself? Who are you? What do you do?
Yes, I work as a research consultant at the Green Climate Fund, especially the Independent Evaluation Unit. And our unit is assuring that the GCF is working effectively and efficiently. We do evaluate their work, but we also put together different sources of evidence on what works, what does not work, so that future projects can do better in the future and can be more efficient. So, and my position is, my task is to work on behavioral science. So many projects involve behavior change, which means like people adopting new technologies, people not cutting down the forest, people using sanitation in the right way. So the question is, what does happen once a project ends? What happens in that project area? So for that, people need to adopt new behaviors, new changes. So the current approaches to this are that people get trainings, people get information campaigns, and people get paid to purchase new equipment, purchase new seats. But something that people have inside them are habits, and habits are hard to overcome. That's something that everybody knows who does a New Year's resolution. So behavioral science tries to understand what are those little obstacles that we face in our everyday decisions, but also when we are trying to achieve our long-term plans. So there's a couple of tools which we're trying to see how they can be applied to projects in development, specifically in the climate context. So that's what we are trying to do.
Sounds like great work. So the Green Climate Fund, as far as I understand it, but please do correct me if I'm wrong, is basically a unit that tries to finance and help projects along the way of being the most effective that they can, right?
So the Green Climate Fund is trying to fill a gap where countries, developing countries who have the least responsibility for the climate change, suffer from climate change, but do not have their own means to adapt to the changing climate, to heavy weather events, but also to develop in a way that is low emission. So within the United Nations, they set up this fund so that rich countries can channel money to the Green Climate Fund, which then goes to organizations working in those countries so that the money does good for their sustainable development.
Okay, great. I read about your work and your research, and I stumbled upon a phrase that kind of caught my attention, and I was wondering whether you could go into a bit more detail about that. So I stumbled about the term the last mile gap in climate investment projects. Would you mind to expand a little on what that is and what that refers to?
So I have started a bit with describing what the last mile problem is before. So it basically, it is what is keeping us from achieving behavior change. So behavior change is very far-reaching consequence. So once we think about what behaviors should be changed, we really need to know that it's in the best interest of the people that we call the final beneficiaries of the project, that it's aligned with their values. But we want to help them adapt to the climate. We want to help them reduce their emissions while developing and improving their living conditions. So behavior change is often a substantial element of that. But many elements like trainings, providing subsidies, providing information, do not get to the final result that they are looking for. So the last mile is everything that keeps project from achieving this effective behavior change. The question is, what is this behavior change? To put it short, it depends because there's lots of cognitive bias, so those little mind hurdles that we have to overcome when making decisions, and they all apply in different contexts. We are likely to use the information that is directly available to us, then go back in our memories. So people are more likely to agree with climate change when they've seen an increase in extreme weathers or hot on a hot day than on a mm-hmm. very cold day, because mm-hmm. That's what people have in their mind. So when there's, on the other hand, when there are new extreme weathers upcoming and people are simply not used to it, they don't expect them to be, and accordingly they act as if everything was still happening as normal.
Okay, that makes sense. So as soon as climate change relates to a personal experience, then it becomes more pressing of an issue, at least in the experience of individuals, so to speak.
Yes, exactly. But the problem is climate projections show us that those extreme weather events are expected to be more frequent and more intense, so that the mm-hmm. expectations people have today may not be sufficient to prepare them. So that's a hurdle that we face in projects, especially when it comes to early warning systems to prepare people from hurricanes, from flooding, or on the other hand, to change the farming traditions, when to bring out the seeds, what kind of crops to plant, when to use irrigation. All those are questions that we are facing and in which the last mile problem manifests.
Okay, I think I got it. Thanks. A couple of other terms that I stumbled upon were terms that are somewhat familiar to me from other contexts as well. So, for example, nudging or behavioral insights. Would you mind to explain a little or talk a little about how nudging or behavioral insights can help reduce this last mile gap and how that works?
Yeah, so nudging is a tool from behavioral science, and behavioral science looks at all those little hurdles, all the way in which our behavior derives from what is rationally optimal. I'm sorry, I'm an economist by trade, so that's a very standard model that we use, but may not make sense to most people outside this profession. So nudging in principle is how do I present the decision to people? Do I send out reminders? Which option do I make the defaults? Or do I present an option in terms of losses or wins? So for example, I can say you have a 20% chance of losing, then people will react quite differently than when I tell them you have an 80% chance of winning, which is just two mm-hmm. sides of the same coin.
Okay.
So nudging, on the other hand, means that every time we make a decision, we are influenced by the way we perceive that choice. So the most common example is, do I put the fruit in the most prominent place in the cafeteria, or do I put the cake in the most prominent place in the cafeteria? So in that way, people are slightly more likely to eat healthier or to just get diabetes. So that's a very easy to grasp example of what a nudge is. So when we know this, then when people make decisions, then we can create this so-called decision-making environment and help people overcome these hurdles.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I have one last question for you, Cornelius, which is, if you had to name one pragmatic means of climate action that our listeners can take in order to tackle climate change, do you have a suggestion for what our listeners should do to help you and others working on climate change and climate change solutions do? What should our listeners do as one pragmatic change?
There's one basic rule of thumb mm-hmm. when it comes to behavior change, which is, don't do about me without me, which means if I want to achieve change in a community, then I have to talk to those people. I have to understand their values, have to understand the way they explain the world. And if I manage to speak in their language, and by that I mean to speak in terms that they can understand, mm-hmm. If I understand what their traditions are, and if I manage to align my story that I tell them, because everything we mm-hmm. Experience in the world is just a story we tell ourselves or that others tell us. So if we align their story and our story, then we can cooperate way better.
Don't do about me without me. I love that. Thank you. There will be a couple of links to your research and your work if people want to check that out further. So far, a huge thank you to you, Cornelius, for taking the time. If you, dear listeners, would like to listen to our podcast on a regular basis, please consider subscribing. It is free and always will be. You can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, but the easiest way to subscribe is to use the podcast app on your phone. Search for Climate Chats and click subscribe. There you will have access to additional links and resources like the ones that Cornelius just talked about. Of course, you can also listen to us by visiting the website of the Worldwide Online Climate Conference, Climate 2020, which you can find a link to in our show notes as well. If you like our podcast or if you disliked anything, we'd really appreciate your feedback. Simply email us at contact@dl4sd.org or find us on Twitter at @FTZ_NK_Hamburg. Thank you, Cornelius, again for taking the time.
Thank you for having me.
And see you soon on the Climate Chats podcast. Take care.
And see you at the Climate Online Conference.
Exactly. I hope so.